Of course, this is a new season. We're going to talk about new seasons this morning. And it is, for many people, a very exciting season, not only because of church, but because it's NFL kickoff weekend. So you're pretty pumped about your team. So FYI, we're just going to have our own tailgate party for Jesus after service. It's all we're doing. We're all wearing our jerseys because he always wins. He's never defeated. And so I just want to encourage you, after service today, what we're doing is this is the launch. This is the kickoff of our discipleship year. So that's what the T-shirts are all about, if you're seeing them, and all the kind of different things, is we launched the year of our church family growing together in Christ starting this Sunday. So what we're encouraging you to do is after this service, there's a tailgate party down in the fellowship hall for all of you. All right? It may be slightly different to the tailgate parties you're used to, all right? But it's still, there's food, and there's we're going to bless you with yet another rubber wristband, just so the Word of God is always with you. You get one of these if you want. It's going to be a really fun time. Kids have games and everything, so we want to encourage you, after service, head down there. Now, with all of the fun and the excitement of today, obviously we have some sobering moments as well, as we remember that this is the 15th year of 9/11. This is the moment that we remember again how we've been changed as a nation. We remember that there are 2,977 people who lost their lives and the families that still grieve that and experience that. I was just reading a report that says there are families of 1,113 people who still have never had an official confirmation of their loved one's death through that tragedy. The story goes that it took 99 days for the fires from that day to go out, and the fire of some of that pain, that anger, and that fear is still in people's hearts today. And so while there's so much we rejoice over, it's only fitting that we take a moment to remember those who have lost and continue to grieve. And so as we come into a call this year of praying first, let's do that. And I'm going to begin with just kind of a moment of silence as you take a moment just to ask God's blessing that our nation would heal and also follow God. And then I'm going to use that to go into praying that this morning would strengthen us to be those people of healing. So would you just take a moment and remember those who need a touch from God today as they remember the tragedies of these past years. Lord, we ask that you who love us more than we often make room for. Lord, so often we forget about you, and yet in moments of pain, we cry out to know where you are. Lord, you're the God who always sees us and never forgets us and understands what we feel. Lord, we can't imagine what some of our Lord, neighbors and community members, our nation feels on this day, but we know you love them. And we're asking that you would show them a sign of your love that would be just right for who they are and how they receive love and how they process their emotions. There would be encouragement. There would be a reminder that there's never a life that is lost that doesn't have a tremendous gift to give the world and continue to give the world even after they pass. And Lord, be with those families, and Lord, heal us as a nation to follow you, to have you as our strength, to have you as our shield, to have you as our hope. Lord, teach us to humble ourselves in the place that we're prideful and arrogant, and we want to define how we were made and who we are, when it's really you who have created us and made us to have life and to have peace. So, Lord, as we enter into a time of both remembering what has been and then trusting for what is, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would be with those who need, that may never darken the door of a church this day, but Lord, they need your presence more than any of us can put into words. So bless them, bless us this day, and fill us with the joy that comes from knowing that to depend on you is to live in your victory. Lord, we ask it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. In remembering what this day is about and what our nation needs, it's so perfect that the Lord has called us to a year of prayer, of understanding what prayer is about. And it all starts by this little saying that we want to make a rally cry here at our church. Many churches throughout the nation have used it over the past few years, and I heard of it and loved it, and I thought it's just such a simple way of remembering that no matter what's happening in our life, what we need to do is we need to pray first. And when we begin to pray first, we begin to recognize how God wants to move and take care of us in the middle of all that we are. You know, it's a new season for a lot of us. We're joking about football starting up. And, students, most of you just started school. It's a new season of how are you going to live out this year at school? And could you really be a student that prays first in all that you do when you're about to enter that classroom? We know you're praying before the test, so that one's covered already. But, you know, Before when you wake up in the morning, what would it be like for all of us in this room to wake up and the first words out of our mouth are, God, I need you today, and I want to thank you for today. And today's yours, God, and just thank you. Sarah and I did that this morning. We kind of been practicing, and we woke up, and Lord, thanks for today. Thank you for being with us today, and that today you've got good plans for us. And so we just pray that. It's nothing fancy, nothing religious, but just a reminder to pray first. That we start to go into a new season of work. And I've talked to a lot of families that are really in a new season about how, what it means to figure out what's going on in their family. They're dealing with stuff right now. It's really a new season for them. And what if you would start that season, you would take that new place where you want to find new healing for family members and be a family in a new way? What if you really started with pray first? You know, at work, what would it look like if you prayed first before that meeting? What would it look like if you prayed first before that email you sent out in frustration? Oh, Lord, please help all of us pray first. That text, that Facebook post, what if we would pray first? You know, our lives really would change. Whether it's work or play, I was finishing up yesterday. I was here praying at the church last night, and someone shot me this text on my picture on my phone, and literally underneath it said, "Hey, Pastor Sean, pray first," right? And they're praying first before their softball game, because we know guys in softball, they need to pray first, and then all the time after that too in softball games. So just pray first. I love that they were doing it. What if we developed a lifestyle that was about praying first? Because in the end, it's not just that it's a good idea, it's that Jesus modeled a pray-first life. He modeled it. The Son of God, the one who was God and part of the Trinity, he modeled throughout his earthly life a pray-first lifestyle. And that's what we're going to invite you to be a part of for the next 3 weeks. We're going to look at the book of Luke, and we're going to look at every scripture where Jesus prayed. And so what you have on your outline here is you have a bunch of the scriptures in the book of Luke where Jesus prayed first. And over the next few days, you'll see it in your bulletin under Pray First Devotions. What we're encouraging you to do is every day start out by focusing on how Jesus prayed. Because since Jesus is the center of our lives, what we want to do is we want to be like him. But if you look at the book of Luke, what you will notice is that every time Jesus begins a new season of his life, guess what's mentioned? He's praying. So what I want you to do is I'm going to read out loud these scriptures from the book of Luke. And again, these are part of the scriptures you're going to see in your own personal devotions over the next 3 weeks. What I want you to do is when the word pray comes up or praying or pray, I want you to say it out loud, circle it. And I also want you to try to figure out if you know what season is beginning for Jesus, that he's praying because the season's beginning. So I'm going to read out loud. When we get to the words pray or praying, you say it out loud, okay? So you're following with me. So here we go. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as Jesus was, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Luke 6. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to and spent the night to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. Luke 9. Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Luke 22, Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw beyond the disciples, knelt down and Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Luke 24, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, the Holy Spirit, but stay in the city and until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus modeled for us a pray first lifestyle. In Luke 3, he was about to enter into his public ministry. What was he doing? He was praying. In Luke 6, he's about to begin the disciples' ministry, the apostles. What does he do to get ready to make his decision? He's praying. In Luke 9, he's about to set his face to Jerusalem. He's been called to Christ. Now it's all about getting to Jerusalem and giving his life. What's Jesus doing? He's praying. In Luke 22, Jesus is about to begin Holy Week. He's about to begin the Passion. He's about to begin the suffering and the beatings of his life that's going to end his death. What is he found doing? Praying. In Luke 24, Jesus has resurrected from the dead, and he's about to initiate the season of the church. And what does he tell the disciples to do? Pray. See, Jesus modeled for us a pray-first lifestyle. A pray-first lifestyle. He lived for us an example of what it looks like to make prayer your first response instead of your last resort. But most of us, that's what we do. We act first, and then we pray later. And yet, that is totally opposite of what the life of Jesus is. And he was the Son of God. I mean, I would think if anybody gets a pass on praying, it'd be Jesus. But he himself lives out a life that every time he begins a season, he's praying. And so we want to begin to do the same thing. We want to begin this season. Some of us in this room, we desperately want a new beginning. We desperately want a new season. We desperately want relationships and things to be different. The way we begin that season, pray first. You know what? We can't necessarily have a change in our circumstances and make that a new beginning, but we can have a change in the way we live life and make that the new beginning. To pray first. Jesus said in John 5:19, it's the only scripture outside of Luke for this whole sermon, and the reason I gave it is because it's such an example of what it looks like. Why we pray. Jesus was being challenged. How do you do all your miracles? How do you preach with such authority? How have you turned everybody upside down? Why do you have so many enemies? Why is all this happening? Jesus says these words. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus is saying, you know all those references in Luke? You know all those times when I'm praying before I do something, you know, I'm praying before something big happens. You know why that is? Because I'm in prayer, and all I'm doing is I'm beginning to hear what the Father's doing, and I'm seeing, and I'm hearing, and all these things I've done, all these healings I've done, all the way I've turned the world upside down, it's just because I prayed first. That's what he's saying. And sometimes we make prayer super complicated. My daughter Rachel's starting, my daughter Melody's starting AP Physics. And she's like, she's already kind of drowning. And I'm like, okay, I'll start reading the textbook and be confused with you about how to do it. I don't know how much you're helping me. And sometimes we kind of, it's like, this is going to get complicated to understand. Prayer is not complicated to understand. And we're going to really talk about that. We've made it complicated, and it's not. It's not at all. And the first simple thing we want to get to is we just want to learn. Let's just start praying first. You're going to get one of these today when you go down to the tailgate party. And you just put it on your wrist, and man, just remember as you're going through your day, just need to pray first. Just need to pray first. Before I talk to that person, before I have that meeting, before I make that phone call, I just need to pray first. What was Jesus showing us? Jesus, who was always victorious, who did always overcome, who always did pray first. Well, what does that mean when we pray first? Well, you got that little box, a little table in there. I want you to think about this, because this is the most important point in the whole sermon. It's this, that when we pray first, we depend on God, and when we don't pray first, we're dependent on ourselves. I mean, it's just that simple. So we don't need to make it complicated. We don't have to all of a sudden know a religious formula to prayer. All we need to do is have a little bit of a gut check in our hearts about who we're dependent on. Because when I pray first, I'm dependent on Him. When I'm not praying first, I'm dependent on me. Because what you do first is usually what you care about most, right? I had a friend who wanted to take me out to lunch, to the birthday lunch. And so he's like, hey, let me know where you want to go. And I really wanted him, which is like all of us and families, like, where do you want to go? I don't know, where do you want to go? You know, doing all that. And I really wanted to give him a list, but I knew whatever I put first, he was going to choose. Because I put it first. Because he would assume he put that first. That must be what he wants. Right? Because all of us know that what comes first usually is most important, and what comes first usually defines everything else. However I start has a lot to do with how I'm going to finish, right? And so what I do first in that moment usually sets the stage with how it's going to go. And if I pray first, I'm setting the stage saying, God, I'm counting on you. God, you're welcome into this already. God, I want to do it your way. When I pray first, I'm depending on Him because I'm starting with Him. It's going to end well. But when I don't pray first, when I'm too busy, well, I don't got time for that, what are we saying? I don't have time for that because that's not what's going to help me. I got to get this done myself. And then maybe I'll pray about it afterwards. We all got stories about that one, right? We all got stories about that one. When we pray first, we can start in peace and end in victory. When we pray first, we can start in peace and end in victory. But when we don't pray first, we start, and maybe the better word is react. We react in fear, and we end in frustration. It's what happens. Why? Because who are we dependent on? How's this going to go if we're dependent on us? We live in such a crazy, busy world. And yet we just got to remember, if I don't have time to pray, I don't have time for this thing to go well. If I don't have time to pray, I shouldn't be doing this, period. And I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. It's like, how do I learn? And part of the reason why I feel like this is so important this year, I feel like it's really important for the church, that is important for me. It's going to be a challenging year. It's like, how am I going to pray first more and more in life? Because I've done the second. I've started in fear. I've made my answer in fear, and I've ended in frustration. Now, halfway through, I complained to God why He wasn't helping. So technically, I had prayed to Him. Really, all I did is kind of complained at Him about it. I hadn't prayed to Him. I hadn't said, hey, God, here's my heart. What's your heart? You know, what does Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? He's about to enter into the most challenging season of life, and He prays. And what does He say? It's like, man, God, I want to tell you everything I want to do right now, but not my will. Your will be done. Prayer is really frustrating when all we do is talk about what we want to God. That's when you just don't want to pray. It's like prayer is meaningless to me. It's because prayer was never designed to be a let me tell you everything I want, God, experience. But when I begin to say, God, this is my heart. But God, what's your heart of this? And we're gonna take some time over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about that. Keep it simple. It's really not that complicated. And really, just let's look at, we're going to talk about these next points next week a little bit. But, you know, to pray first, to live in God's victory, all we got to do is what Jesus did. And I want you to remember that one of our key values here at Cornerstone is that if we will do what's possible, God will do what's impossible. And it's possible to pray. And some of us, we face impossible situations, and all we do is, well, it's impossible, so I'm not going to do anything. It's like, no, do what's possible, pray first, and then God will do what's impossible for you. And so what we want to do is we want to make time for prayer. I mean, how many of those scriptures, you're going to read it this week, you're every story, Jesus withdrew, Jesus went to a solitary place, Jesus was in a certain place and He prayed. Jesus takes time. He makes time for prayer. And all of us in this room know that your relationships are only as good as the time you put into it. I mean, we know that. I was looking at my yard yesterday. I said, my yard's only as good as the time I've put into it. It's just what it is. It's not that it's rocket science. I just haven't done anything with it. That's just like, you know, and that's, we just got to remember that our relationship with God needs time to depend on him. And so what I'm challenging you to do over this week, Monday through Friday, make 5, 10, 15 minutes. Say, I'm just going to make time. Because if I don't have time to start with him, I don't know why I'm doing this. What's going to happen if I don't depend on him in this? Second, we got to find a place. We just got to find a place to pray. Some of us, it's got to be in the car, in the parking lot before work. We just got to make sure we've given a little time for it to happen. Some of us need to get into our prayer closet. That's a literal closet. I got a place I go. Near church, I just walk, and there's like just kind of open field of trees, and that's my place to pray. I don't know where yours is, but we've got to make a place. And really, when you even look at the scripture in Luke 11 about the Lord's Prayer, it's there on your sheet. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, what, you know, the disciples had been taught to pray forever. I mean, they were Jewish. They knew thousands of prayer. But something Jesus was doing was way different than what they had learned. And so they're like, hey, teach us to pray your way. And it happened because Jesus had taken some time and he had found a place. Now, what the sociologists tell us is that this generation, you're already basically swamped with three places that you live life. You live life at home, you live life at work and school, and then you live life virtually online. And that really, in this generation, where you're living the most is online. So that's the place, they call it the third place of this generation. You're always in your third place. So one of the things I want to challenge you is, maybe you should make sure you get to your prayer place before you go to your third place. You know, just pray first. Pray first before I get online. Pray first before I do that social media thing or play that game or whatever. It's like, let me just pray first. That's a great little reminder to say, this is how I'm going to do it. Some of us, to make time, we should put it on our Outlook calendars, on our Google calendar, whatever, and just literally have an appointment with God. Last time I checked, you know, I try to do different things with my kids, and it's always great if we're just busy and we run into a moment where we can talk together. That's great. It's like, hey, let's go out real quick. We did that this Friday. We just went out, like, spur in a moment. But you know what means a lot to my kids? When, like, a week before, I'm like, hey, I got this date planned for us next Friday. So just keep that spot open. It, like, there's something about intentionality, about, like, I'm making time for you. And maybe you just need to literally break out the phone and put a little reminder. God and I, we're going to be talking. Someone wants you to do something. I got an appointment that day. Sorry, can't do that time. Right? Because you're meeting with someone who's actually pretty important. Matter of fact, you're dependent on them, so it's okay to not do anything else at that time. Maybe you should do that this week. When you're going to do this prayer, 5, 10, 15 minutes, why don't you put it down on your calendar? Because in the end, we know it's like, it's nice to think about it, but we got to say, how do I make time to actually do it? So find a time, a place. Let's think about that idea before I go to my third place, which is online. Make sure I've gone to my prayer place first before that. Number three, let's make his word our guide for prayer. And that's what we're going to do. Now, guide, not script, not meaningless, you know, I'm just going to say these things that mean nothing to me. I mean, what we're going to do is, you have a chance, it's in your bulletin, there's this Pray First devotions. And every day, there's a scripture about Jesus and his prayer life or something Jesus said about prayer. And you may want to read the verses around it, like you may not want to read just the specific verse, but just read the verse, and then at the end of it, literally just say to God, God, I want to depend on you. Make this true in my life. I want to pray like this. I want to be like this. Just ask God to do it. It's just that simple. You don't have to, don't explain why. Don't just say, God, would you please help this be in my life? It's all you've got to pray. And use it as a guide. As God just, you see Jesus praying and say, I'm starting this new work. I'm starting this new, God, just like you were starting, help me to start right. Depend on you. Open up the heavens, God. Pour out into my life. And then number four, make prayer relational and not formal. Okay? You know, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to say some things about it, but you need to remember, even the way Luke 11 presents it, Jesus is saying, pray according to this manner. I mean, pray these thoughts. What he's really saying is the disciples have seen Jesus praying in a way they've never been taught. And they're like, hey, teach us to pray like you. And what's the first line in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. Well, you know, in the Old Testament, I think one pastor said there's 15 references in the whole Old Testament. In 3,800 years of the Old Testament being written, there's only 15 references to God as Father, because no one thought of him that way. Everybody thought of him as creator, as king, and they were all right, but they never saw that he was Father too, that he was personal, that they could be close. Jesus, obviously, was the one who revealed that. And so you and I, let's not make prayer AP physics, okay? Let's just make it our dad, someone who cares. I don't know you yet, God, so I don't know exactly how to do it. Hey, just start by saying that to me then. I don't know you and I want to know you. Make it personal. Make it relational. So I just want to wrap up, and I was praying about this, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to put this at the end of the message, and it's this. Prayer decides my life's legacy, my family's victory, and my community's destiny. I just want to encourage you, because I don't want you to worry about the mechanics of prayer yet. I just want you to have a desire in your heart to say, I need to do this. I want to do it. I have a desire to do it in my heart. And I just want to take out all the formality and I just want to remind you these things right here, that your life's legacy is not dependent on what you do. It's dependent on what God does in your life. My grandmother, who next month will turn 90 years old, you know, she was, all of her family except for her were born in Italy, came over, up, downs, everything. You know, her legacy in my life is not anything but her prayers. That's her legacy in my life. And it's an incredible legacy. And I want to leave that kind of legacy. It's not, I was talking to a buddy yesterday. I said, you know, we're so addicted to success, we've forgotten what family's about. You know, and God's our Father in heaven, and he's the one who's going to determine our legacy. And it's not going to be determined by what we do by ourselves. It's going to be determined by how much we pray. And so I want to encourage you, your family's victory is decided in prayer. I mean, which one of us in here has like a doctor's degree in psychology and family dynamics? None of us. So like we're all both qualified and totally not qualified all at the same time, right? I mean, thankfully you've got a doctorate in yourself, so that kind of helps you understand your kids because they're you, just in hard to look at ways, right? It's like, oh, that's me. Oh, rats, I hate that. I was hoping they wouldn't get that. All right. But you know what? Your family's victory, it's dependent on how much you pray for them, not how much you figure it all out. Just pray. Just pray. Lord, watch over them. Before they go to school in the morning, pray first. God, I thank you that you're with them, that you chose this day for them, and I just pray that they'll be a leader, not a follower. Amen. Just pray for them. And then it's my community's, prayer decides my community's destiny. That's what we're going to pray for our schools next week. See if the polls coming. I could tell you stories about my son Caleb. He's a safety patrol officer this year at school in fourth grade. He's walking around with the badge, you know. Stop. And it's great, man. He's pumped about it. He's pumped about wearing it. And, well, you know what? I had to tell you, but we're all the safety patrol officers of our community, okay? We tell Satan, stop, Jesus, come, get out of the way, you come in. We do it in prayer, all right? That's you and I. And so prayer decides it all. So what we all want to do, we want to start a new season. We want to kind of have all new cry on our hearts, and it's this, pray first. We all want to have a cry in our hearts, and it is pray first. Before I go to work, before I have that hard conversation, before I send that text, you're getting it. Pray first. That's it. So I just want us to finish with this, and then you're going to get to go to the tailgate party and hang out for a little bit, take some pictures, buy some uniforms. I don't know what you're going to do. Eat some food. Have the kids play. Your connection card is in your, if you pull out your connection card, if you got it. If you don't have one, you can do this later or just write it on the side of your bulletin so at least you have it. I'm going to invite you to write something in your connection card today and leave it as a prayer and then put it down here. By the way, you also saw in the foyer, we've got that new Pray First blackboard up there, and right on there is a I'm Believing God For. You can go in there. There's a basket of pens and just write things that so other people, when they see it, they can pray over it too and agree with you. But I'm going to invite you to write this in your connection card today. And then you write it how you want, but I just give you an example. Dear Jesus, today I believe I can have a new beginning and a new season through you. Help me to pray first, and then you want to say, about my work, in my family, for that relationship, with somebody else I need to start doing. I don't know which preposition you want to use after pray first. You get to do that with the photo booth downstairs too. But just, Jesus, I believe I can have a new beginning and season through you. Help me to pray first for that. I want to depend on you and be filled with your peace and victory. So I'm just going to ask you to take a moment, if you would, to fill out your connection card. Go ahead and do it right now. And what I'm going to ask you to do is, if there's anything you want to else fill out on that, do that. Just fold it up, and then I'm just going to invite you to today, since we're going down to the tailgate party, I'm just going to invite you to find a way and put your prayer request on the altar as just a symbol of like, hey, you know, this is the way I'm starting. I want to pray. You know, some of you are like, I don't want to write that much. I want to pray first, and what you're praying first for. And it's kind of our beginning of a new season. It's a new season. I'm going to pray first for my grandkids. I'm going to pray first for my workers. I'm going to pray first about my next job. I'm going to pray first about my marriage. I'm going to just begin to write whatever's on your heart. And I'm just going to invite you to put that in there. And then what you can do is after this, you head out this way, whether you're picking up kids, and number 818 really needs to be picked up, like right now. Nursery person number 818. So you'll head out that way. You don't have to get up right now. You can wait until we all stand up. And then we're all going to go downstairs and just get encouraged and begin to kind of build this idea of this season. We're kicking off a pray first season. So take one more moment to write down in your connection card any other prayer requests you have. Would you stand with me? All right, let's bow our heads and pray first before we go down. Let's do it. Would you bow your heads? Hey, if you, as you're praying, as you're just seeking the Lord, if you've written down the pray first, but you've never actually invited Christ into your heart, then that's the first prayer you got to pray. So as your heads are bowed, if you're here this morning and God's not the center of your life, He's not what you're trusting in this morning, I want to invite you. That's the first prayer you got to pray. I saw so many of you were singing today. You were enjoying worship, and you know that's because God was speaking to your heart this morning. Like you were feeling that in your heart. I was talking to my son Caleb, and I we were going someplace. I heard him singing a song, and it just thrilled my heart as a father. And the Lord just said to me, Sean, we sing what we believe. We sing what we believe. What we sing is what our heart believes. So what you're singing, the reason you're singing it, the reason you can't get it out of your head, because you believe it. And so if you were singing this morning and something was connecting with you in worship this morning, that's because your heart is longing to know Christ, longing to know God. And it begins by a simple prayer. It begins with a prayer to say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm selfish and sinful. I know I try to do my things my own way, but this morning, I want you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and begin that song deep in my heart that trusts in you. So as everybody's heads are bowed, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts now. Each of our hearts now. Let the song of God become what we live for. If you're here this morning, you want to make that decision. That's your first prayer in Pray First. Jesus, would you come into my life? I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. And would you begin a new life in me? I know you might have a lot of other questions, but really, is that simple this morning? Just start there. If that's you and you want to make that decision, I just want to give you that opportunity. If that's your decision this morning, would you just look up at me and just lift up a hand and just say, hey, Pastor Sean, I'm really making this decision today. I'm not just thinking about it. I'm making it. Is there anyone here today want to make that decision this morning? Lord, I thank you how you are beginning that. I know you're speaking to hearts this morning. And Lord, we want to pray first. We just want to know how to depend on you. So guide us in all this. We just thank you for the victory and the peace and the clarity of Jesus Christ that's coming to us because we put you first in everything we do. We love you and guide us and make this, as we find that time and place and as we follow the scriptures this week, Lord, overwhelm us. Overwhelm us with your love and make us a blessing to others, we pray. We do all this remembering the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.